This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings. It's Tuesday, and I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCoppel.
And I'm Nick Burleson.
Facebook under fire big time on multiple fronts. Yesterday, a massive outage froze the site for more than 6 hours, along with Instagram and WhatsApp. Chances are you noticed. The company blames a technical issue, and today, a whistleblower is testifying before Congress. Frances Haugen told 60 Minutes she believes that the company is organized to put profit before safety. We'll have more on that in just a second. But first, Vladimir Duthier has details of that widespread outage. Vlad, good morning, and it lasted for several hours.
It did indeed, Gail. The problem appears to have started around noon Eastern time yesterday when users started seeing error messages popping up when they tried to access their accounts. The outage lasted around 6 hours, leaving the company to issue apologies as it worked to get back online and restore access to its billions of customers.
If you logged onto Facebook or any of its popular properties like Instagram or WhatsApp yesterday, you waited and waited. The social media giant was completely knocked offline for hours, a nightmare scenario for a company already being criticized on multiple fronts. The massive global outage started after Facebook said that what it called configuration changes on its routers were the root of the issue, disrupting network traffic and bringing services to a halt. The cascading effects were wide-ranging, not only affecting users, but also many of Facebook's internal systems, meaning its own employees were unable to access the company's internal messaging system or even gain access to offices as their work badges stopped working. The outage even locked out engineers working to fix the problem remotely.
That's incredibly disruptive.
Chris Krebs is a former director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. He explains how the problem prevented Facebook systems from communicating across the internet.
It's kind of like in the old days when you've got someone sitting at an operator board plugging in the lines to make calls connect. And effectively, the operator lost all understanding of where on the board they were supposed to plug in.
Krebs says Facebook's outage exposed how interconnected its technology and its billions of users are with the internet economy as a whole.
Facebook is also used by some small businesses as their only sort of internet platform. How problematic was it for them?
There's a lot of business-to-business services and functions that are enabled by Facebook and Instagram. You think about all the advertisement, the products that are sold. That really puts a disruption across the ability of those companies to transact business.
Now, it's important to note that Facebook says no user data was breached during the outage. The company and several high-profile people at the organization apologized yesterday for the impact the outage had on its users. Technical issues like this happen from time to time. In fact, Facebook had a similar incident happen back in 2019. However, experts say it is extremely rare for so many internet platforms to go down globally at the same time, Nate.
Feels like we're living in the Matrix. Where's Morpheus when you need him? Vlad, thank you. Now to Washington and those stunning accusations from a former Facebook employee who spoke with 60 Minutes. Frances Haugen will testify to the Senate about internal company data showing potentially dangerous consequences from Facebook's recent actions. Chris Van Cleve reports from Capitol Hill.
Ahead of her testimony this morning, former Facebook employee Frances Haugen and her legal team filed at least 8 complaints with the Securities and Exchange Commission, obtained by CBS News from a congressional source.
There were conflicts of interest between what was good for the public and what was good for Facebook. And Facebook over and over again chose to optimize for its own interests, like making more money.
She'll testify before the Senate urging stronger regulation and claiming Facebook became a $1 trillion company by paying for its profits with our safety, including the safety of our children. Haugen told 60 Minutes Scott Pelley Facebook needs a complete reboot, and CEO Mark Zuckerberg needs to take action.
It can't start from the place of, we have a problem. We need to declare moral bankruptcy. You know, we need to put it on the table. We need to admit what we've done, and then we need to work from there to making something better.
Moral bankruptcy?
Yeah. Moral bankruptcy is an opportunity for Mark, for Facebook, to come in and say, we completely messed up. We have to reorganize the company.
I agree completely. So far, we've seen no acknowledgement, no accountability, no commitment to disclose everything in their files, no agreement that there have to be reforms. That is, in effect, moral bankruptcy, in my view.
Senator Richard Blumenthal will chair the hearing. He expects bipartisan outrage over reports Facebook hid the potential risks of suicide and negative body image its Instagram platform may pose to children and teens.
I think that what we're seeing is big tech's big tobacco moment. What we're seeing here is Facebook, through Instagram, confronting how its own greed is putting kids at risk. And that's a big tobacco moment.
Facebook tells CBS News every day our teams have to balance protecting the ability of billions of people to express themselves openly with the need to keep our platform a safe and positive place. We continue to make significant improvements to tackle the spread of misinformation and harmful content. Senator Blumenthal believes regulations will be necessary, and that could include legal liability for platforms for content posted on their sites and apps. Tony?
Chris, thank you very much. Staying in Washington, congressional Democrats are still at odds over two huge and hugely consequential spending plans as President Biden bashes Republicans for delaying an urgently required increase in the national debt limit.
The meteor is headed to crash into our economy. Democrats are willing to do all the work stopping it. Republicans just have to let us do our job. Just get out of the way. If you don't want to help save the country, get out of the way so you don't destroy it.
And I will get out of the way for our Ed O'Keefe, who's live from the White House once again. Ed, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tony. This may not be the week to check the ebbs and flows of your 401k, folks, as the markets are likely to continue reacting to the staring contest here in Washington. Things are going to get rocky ahead of October 18th. That's when the Treasury Department says that the nation's borrowing limit will be exceeded. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says action is needed this week, and he's scheduled another up or down vote on increasing the debt limit for tomorrow. We'll see, however, if Republicans use those procedural tactics they've been known to use to try blocking it. Failure to raise the debt limit means the U.S. can't borrow any more money to pay bills. That could mean the nation's credit ratings downgraded, stock markets could sink, interest rates might spike, and Social Security and pension payments wouldn't go out. The president's also focused on another urgent priority, passage of his Build Back Better agenda. When he spoke with House Democratic progressives last night, CBS News has learned he talked to them about bringing the price of that agenda from about $3.5 trillion down to $2 trillion, believing that now is the sweet spot where Democrats can get it passed. And he'll take his message on the road today, meeting with union workers in Michigan to try to sell the nation on his plan. Nate?
Ed, thank you. There's a new theory about what may have caused a large oil spill, which is having a major impact on the Southern California coast. Up to 144,000 gallons of oil have already spilled into the ocean there, shutting down beaches and putting animals in danger. Lilia Luciano reports from Huntington Beach.
Crews on and offshore continue working along Huntington Beach, cleaning up one of the largest oil spills the area has ever seen. Monday, the CEO of Amplify Energy, which operates the pipeline, said there's a possibility a ship's anchor may have ruptured the line.
We have examined more than 8,000 feet of pipe, and we have isolated one specific area of significant interest.
Captain Rebecca Orr is overseeing operations for the U.S. Coast Guard.
We do not know the cause at this time.
What has been the most challenging of the efforts so far?
The unpredictability is really the most complex part. We don't know precisely how much is out there.
Despite concerns about the impact on wildlife, an initial assessment found four oily birds so far compared to the thousands discovered during a spill in 1990.
The number of birds in the general area seems to be lower than we had feared, but at this point we're cautiously optimistic.
Residents are now questioning whether Amplify Energy and state agencies acted quickly enough. Locals reported noticing an oil sheen and a heavy petroleum smell Friday night. Still, the company CEO maintains that crews didn't discover a problem until a line inspection the next day.
Saturday morning, when we found the sheen, that's when we kicked in the incident command, like I said. So we were not aware of anything Friday night.
For CBS Mornings, Lilia Luciano in Huntington Beach, California.
We have breaking news this morning from France, where an investigation has found a horrifying number of abuse cases linked to the Roman Catholic Church. Chris Livesay is in Rome with a report that was just released a short time ago. Chris, good morning. What can you tell us?
Good morning, Gail. Well, the shocking inquiry found an estimated 216,000 child sex abuse victims at the hands of French clergy between 1950 and 2020. Now, the report says an estimated 3,000 abusers, two-thirds of them priests, worked in the church during that period. One Vatican insider told CBS News that the staggering number of priests means there is likely irrefutable evidence of a cover-up. The figures are based on research after the commission spent 2.5 years listening to victims through an open hotline and studying church court and police archives. It's the latest and possibly highest number of victims revealed in reports and investigations worldwide that have helped lift the veil of silence around church sex abuse. France's Catholic bishops have asked victims for forgiveness. The Vatican has yet to comment. Tony?
Okay, go back. Go get. Thank you very much, Chris Livesay, reporting from Rome. More Americans could soon be eligible for COVID booster shots. This morning, Johnson & Johnson has officially submitted data to the FDA recommending a booster for its single-dose shot. The company says its booster was 100% effective in preventing severe and critical cases of COVID. The booster would be just for people over the ages of 18 and over. Right now, Pfizer is the only vaccine authorized for booster shots in select groups of people.
The FBI is investigating a shooting that killed a federal drug enforcement agent at Tucson, Arizona's Amtrak station. Tucson police say agents and police officers had boarded a train from Los Angeles, headed for New Orleans yesterday in a routine check for weapons and drugs. But after they detained a passenger, another man opened fire. A second agent and a police officer were wounded in that altercation. The suspected gunman was found dead inside a restroom on the train. Fortunately, none of the passengers or crew were hurt.
This morning, we continue our reporting on thousands of migrants, most of them from Haiti, making their way through a dangerous stretch of Latin America right now. More than 90,000 people have crossed from Colombia to Panama this year, an unprecedented number. Yesterday, Manuel Bojorquez introduced us to Lionel Nelson, a Haitian migrant trying to get to the U.S. with his wife and baby girl. Manuel followed them as they tried to make their way from Colombia to Panama and handed themselves over to smugglers.
It's been a rough road for Lionel Nelson and his family, but the most treacherous part of their journey had yet to begin. As they left the Colombian beach town of Necoclí by ferry, we followed along by boat to the other side of this bay, the next step in the trek north.
For all the people on that boat, this is the only way to the other side, a two-hour journey across the bay to Acandí.
So the boats just arrived on the other side, and as we came into the bay, it's met by smaller boats, and these are all part of the smuggling operation, taking them from this boat to dry land. This would be the last time we saw any Colombian government forces or officials. Nelson and his family turned themselves over to a band of smugglers after negotiating passage along the only land route into Central America. We followed Nelson and his family on dirt bikes out into the countryside and up into the hills.
¿Cómo está la niña?
How's the child?
Your girl, how is she?
Okay.
She looks a little scared a little bit. Miedo un poquito. Sí.
We rode for more than an hour, struggling through mud and streams to where the hills become mountains at a smuggler's camp on the edge of the jungle.
This camp is the place where many of these migrants spend one night before they go on into the Darien Gap. Those who run this camp here who are very weary of our cameras, but this is it. From here on out, it's all by foot, and it's all through the jungle.
To understand how treacherous the terrain is, consider this.
The Pan American Highway, or Via Panamericana, runs from Alaska all the way to Argentina. But the road stops between the borders of Panama and Colombia, a 66-mile stretch of untamed wilderness too difficult to build. That's why it's called the Darien Gap. Despite the dangers, the number of migrants braving the gap has skyrocketed. More than 90,000 people are estimated to have passed through this year.
¿Ha visto usted estos números en su vida? Have you seen these numbers ever in your life?
No, nunca.
This smuggler, who would not give his name, told us his people only take the migrants as far as the border with Panama, then leave them in God's hands.
Todos quieren entrar a Estados Unidos o morir en el camino que volver a Haití.
They'd rather die trying to get to the United States than be deported to Haiti. Prefieren morir llegando a los Estados Unidos que volver a regresar a Haití.
Sí.
And it is into that jungle of rivers, rocks, wild animals, and criminals that Nelson and his family are headed. The plan was to leave first thing in the morning.
That will be the difficult part. ¿Estás preparado mentalmente?
Sí, porque la motivación.
Motivación, you're motivated.
Nelson says he's prepared for the roughly three-day journey through the wilderness, a journey he knows is full of danger.
Corazón, it's all heart.
We've yet to hear whether they made it out of the jungle. For CBS Mornings, Manuel Bojorquez, Necoclí, Colombia.
Wow.
The images are heartbreaking, and when you think the treacherous conditions that you go through to risk yourself, but more importantly, to risk the lives of your children.
Those babies.
That's how desperate you are.
You're not putting your kids in that water unless you think it's safer and better than where you're coming from.
Yeah, well done by Manuel, but with that said, the journey is so treacherous.
Mm-hmm. What did the one smuggler say? We put them in God's hands. We get them to that line, and then they're in God's hands.
And we pray for their protection.
Yes, we do.
Catch every episode of 60 Minutes, America's most watched news magazine show, as a podcast. Hear in-depth investigations across politics, news, and entertainment on your schedule. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.